right. Very good. Announcements, remember Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, we've got men's group, 10 o'clock, men's prayer. Tonight we're going to do Psalm 55, but before we get to Psalm 55, this will be one of those psalms that we got some history on and can put it into a context. And so before we do Psalm 55, what we'll do, I'll give you some background, and to some of you it might ring a bell, the history we go through here, because we've done it before, but that'll help us take the psalm and put it back where it goes in context, and hopefully give you some more application to what's going on. So we'll get to Psalm 55, but before we get there, let's pray, and then I'll give you some background, and then we'll put Psalm 55 in its place there. But let's pray first. Father, I thank you for your words, and for everybody that's here tonight. I pray you would bless each soul for being here. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for, I know some folks that came this morning and just needed some help, and I thank you for helping them. Father, I pray everybody was helped this morning. Pray everybody got something from your words, and I pray tonight the same thing, that we get what we need from you, and you would make the application where it needs to be made, and just help us understand what you're saying, what you've chosen to record, and help us with these things. Pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, and Father, for all those that are out, they're sick or traveling, Father, pray you keep them safe, and the ones that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here tonight, and I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what I'm going to do, give you the context of this, and then we will take Psalm 55 and put it back where it goes. But to start off, I want to show you, here's a little background information. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 11, when you get back there, you'll probably notice it's a pretty familiar time in David's life. But 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3, and if you will just follow along here and get the background. 2 Samuel 11, 3, notice some of the people involved, particularly Bathsheba and Eliam. 2 Samuel 11:3 says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" All right, so Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam. All right, so you got that much. That's the important piece of information there. Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam. All right, you're in 2 Samuel. Look over to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And verse 24. Or 34, I should say 34. 2 Samuel 23:34. These are David's mighty men. Remember Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam. All right, verse 34. Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbi, the son of the Maacathite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. All right, here, there's the piece of information that we need to understand. So Bathsheba is Eliam's daughter, and Eliam is the son of a guy named Ahithophel. All right, so you got those pieces all well connected there. Now, you're in 2 Samuel. Go back to chapter 15. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 10. This part of David's life, his son Absalom is trying to steal the throne and is doing everything he can to do it. And he's winning the hearts of the people. He's getting the public approval of this. And in 2 Samuel 15:10, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. So he hires these men or takes these men, and apparently they just think they're doing the king's business here. Verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy, that word's in your Bible, conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. All right, so here's what's going on. David is losing public approval to Absalom, his son. Absalom is gaining public approval and trying to take over the throne and usurp David's kingdom and his being king. And Absalom goes after a guy named Ahithophel, who we just read about. If you put these things together, Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. So when you read this, you're not going to catch all of it from what we said, but I'll give you the highlights of what's about to happen. Ahithophel has been frustrated at David ever since the adultery with Bathsheba. Ahithophel has been angry and bitter about this thing, but he hasn't let it show. He's been a counselor to David, and he's kind of just had this stuff just kind of boiling inside him for a while, and he just kind of waited for the right time. Now here's Absalom, who is trying to take the throne from David, and he goes over to Ahithophel, who is this wise counselor who when he speaks, the Bible says it was like the oracles of God. I mean, it's just wise counsel. And Absalom gets a fellow named Ahithophel on his side. And so this is from Ahithophel's standpoint, this is the perfect opportunity now to do what he wants to do to David. He has been bitter and angry and mad at David, and apparently he's kept it very well hidden for many years. But now this opportunity has shown up. Absalom looks like he's getting some support. Looks like Absalom may be able to take the throne. And so Absalom goes over to Ahithophel to get Ahithophel on his side. And he's going to successfully do that. He'll get him on his side. Look over in, I think it's chapter 16, verse 23. 2 Samuel 16, 23. This is just the description of Ahithophel at the time. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So Ahithophel has been David's counselor. He has helped David through things. He has given him good advice. And David doesn't really suspect anything from Ahithophel. So when Ahithophel takes Absalom's side, David is in shock. He doesn't expect this. He thought, okay, the whole deal with Bathsheba, that has been forgiven. The Lord is forgiven. Now we have a child together, the Solomon. So this thing is, you know, David will never live it down, but he just it seems like it's done and over with and not have to think about it anymore. But apparently for Ahithophel it wasn't over. So there's a this description of Ahithophel's counsel. He is going to get on Absalom's side. Let me show you maybe a couple other verses back here. I showed you 10 through 13. Look back in 2 Samuel 15 and look in verse, I think it's 31. 2 Samuel 15, 31. The Bible says, 2 Samuel 15, 31, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." When David finds out Ahithophel has changed sides, so to speak, or starting to support Absalom in this rebellion, David knows Ahithophel has a very good ally and a very wise man on his side now. And David understands he's lost a good man. And he's lost a good man who is now going to conspire against him, and he is... It really scares him. Look in 2 Samuel 16. And I'm giving you all this background, so when we go back here, we'll put the psalm into its place here. Absalom and Ahithophel talk about their conspiracy. And here's what Absalom said one time in 2 Samuel 16, verse 20. Just to publicly shame David. He is so frustrated, and all that stuff is pouring out now from him. 2 Samuel 16, 20, "Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, Give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house." So Absalom goes into Jerusalem and basically takes over the palace. And this is the advice Ahithophel gives him. "Go in unto the father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong." So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. You just read that verse. So here's Ahithophel now. Now this council is coming out. I imagine they make a big party, a big tent, a big display, and have a big party up on the house, up on the roof there, and just put the whole thing on display that now Absalom's the guy in charge. And David just watches this thing, and he watches it from a distance, and just understanding Ahithophel is the guy that is now giving his son counsel against him, and it's a guy that was his friend, it's a guy that he cared about, it's a fella that sat down at the table together, and they visited, had dinner together, all those things, and now Ahithophel is fully on Absalom's side. Now here's just a couple things about Ahithophel before we go over to Psalms. Ahithophel is so bitter at David. He's about to give Absalom some advice about how to kill David in the next chapter. He's going to tell Absalom, you need to take 12,000 guys and you need to hunt David down because he's in the wilderness. He's in the surrounding areas around Jerusalem. And you need to go hunt David down because he's wore out, he's tired, and he doesn't have very many men. And that's the counsel Ahithophel gives Absalom. However, look over in 2 Samuel 17. This is where he gives him that counsel. "Moreover, Ahithophel said," verse 1, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith." All right, here's what's going to happen. Ahithophel gives Absalom advice on how to kill David. David prays, and that prayer that you're about to read in Psalm 55, it fits somewhere in all this. And we'll read it in a minute. And David prays, and he tells Hushai, he says, go to Absalom and give him some advice to at least counter what Ahithophel's saying. Because you still have a rapport with Absalom. He'll listen to you. Go to Absalom and be the other side of the story so that Ahithophel doesn't have the only voice there. And so Hushai is going to go in there and essentially say, look, David is much more a man of war than we are, and he knows how to fight battles. And if we send 12,000 men out there, he knows where he is, and we don't know where he is. And he's going to get us surrounded, and he's going to kill all these 12,000 men. And so Absalom, it kind of takes Absalom back a little bit, and he thinks, okay, that may be true too, so I don't want to send that many men out there. So he says, all right, we'll go with Hushai's advice for now, and I'm not going to send 12,000 men out there to get killed by David and his men. After Ahithophel hears that, he's discouraged, he's mad, his bitterness has just eaten him up, and he thought this was the perfect opportunity to kill David. But look in verse 23 of chapter 17. It says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself. And died, and was buried in the sepulchers of his father. You talk about bitterness. He thought he had a chance to kill David, and that counsel was not taken because, and I'll tell you why it wasn't taken. It wasn't taken because David's about to pray. He's about to get a hold of God and get somebody on the inside, Hushai, to be another voice in there so that Absalom doesn't only hear Ahithophel. And so when Absalom hears Hushai, he says, all right, we're not going to send 12,000 men after David. I don't want all these guys killed doing this. And so when Ahithophel hears that, very calculating, he just goes home. Probably sets up the will, sets up how this thing's going to be ordered and how it's going to be distributed, who's going to have what and all this. And then he makes a noose and he hangs himself just in a very cold and just the bitterness has completely eaten his life up. Now, that's the man that David is asking God to protect him from. So now we'll get to Psalm 55, and shouldn't take too long with this, but Psalm 55, and we'll put this back into its context. Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is the prayer during all of this when David is on the run and Ahithophel has taken sides with Absalom. David says this, Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, hear me, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord. Now he's about to ask God to destroy this council against him. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. All the city he's talking about is Jerusalem. Remember, David is outside of Jerusalem. He's hiding out. And Absalom and all his armies and his men have come to Jerusalem and come to the palace, and they're taking over. Remember that? I mean, they're having the parties, and they are showing a big display of power here, and David's watching it. And he says, verse 11, wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. If you were an enemy, I would know where the threat's coming from. But it wasn't an enemy, it was my friend. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. He's talking about Ahithophel. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. What a prayer. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. I'll just stop there and make a comment about that. When verse 16, David says, as for me, I will call upon God. Instead of David's not going to conjure up a plan. He's not going to try to figure out how he can get vengeance. He's not trying to figure out how he can make this thing work or get back at Absalom. David says, as for me, I'm going to trust the Lord on this. This is going to be in the Lord's hands. I'm putting it in the Lord's hands. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. That's true. Those guys, they weren't considering that David was the man that was anointed by God to be king. You remember how David treated Saul? And Saul hunted him down. But David would not take vengeance on Saul. He would not try to, knowing he was going to be king, he still wasn't going to force his way into that position. He wasn't going to kill Saul to make that thing happen. He's going to let God take care of this thing. And so he had a couple of opportunities to kill Saul, and he gets close enough and he feels bad about it. But he has too much fear of God to step in a place where he doesn't belong. On the other hand, these guys that are against David, they don't care about what God picks or God chooses or who God makes king. Absalom is going to be king. He doesn't care whether it's God's choice or whoever. He's going to be king. It doesn't matter that David was the man after God's own heart that was anointed king, and he's supposed to be the king. And so David says some of these things because it's the truth. They don't have the same fear of God that he has. Verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. He's talking about Ahithophel. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. So Ahithophel just bided his time. He waited this thing out, and when the opportunity came, boy, he jumped on it. War was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. All right, I read that whole psalm to show you. This psalm belongs back over there in 2 Samuel, where David is running for his life. Ahithophel is the man that he's talking about. And when David prays about a friend that has betrayed him, that has taken up a side against him, and not just taking up a political side. He is taking up the side of destroying David. He wants to kill David. And so this is all about a man named Ahithophel. It is significant in that David is not going to take vengeance. He's looking for the help from the Lord. And so what you read about in 2 Samuel, the process of Ahithophel stumbling, the process of the council being changed, all of those things come about because David asked the Lord to intervene in this. Ahithophel at that point in time was the only voice of Absalom. He was listening to his counsel. He was taking his counsel. But it's interesting at that last time, after Ahithophel gives him some advice about how to kill David, suddenly Absalom says, well, let's listen to Hushai too. Where was Hushai before then? Why didn't he listen to him before? And I'll tell you why. It's because David was praying about this. And what you're reading in 2 Samuel are the results of a man's prayer when he asks God to intervene. And he doesn't take matters into his own hands. He just begs God to intervene. And so the Lord uses Hushai to give some contrary to counsel to Absalom. And Absalom takes that contrary counsel. And before you know it, Ahithophel is committing suicide because his bitterness is just eating him up. And it just... he's not going to get that thing right. He's not going to accept what God's already done there. He's just not going to accept it. And so he ends up killing himself and hanging himself. And what's interesting about all this? Well, there's a couple things, but there's two applications to this in the Bible. Number one, in Psalm 55, what you read in verses 12, 13, 14, all apply to Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot. Two men who take counsel together, who eat together, who fellowship together, and even the Lord Jesus Christ calls him a friend. And I don't think he says that to Judas as being, just a tongue-in-cheek. He means it. You're my friend. You are literally my friend. And you have sold me out. And he doesn't say as much, but he takes counsel with Judas. They eat together and they have fellowship together, just like David and Ahithophel do the same thing. Of Judas Iscariot and Jesus Christ could have said the same thing here in verse 12, 13, 14. It was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against thee, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon him and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. So one application this has, not only is it David and Ahithophel, it's Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot. Now, here's another interesting part to all this. Do you remember how Judas Iscariot ends up dying? He hangs himself, just like Ahithophel. After betraying his friend, after betraying Judas Iscariot betrays Jesus Christ. He takes that 30 pieces of silver that he made for that, and he pitches it back into the temple there, and he goes out and he hangs himself, just like Ahithophel does the same thing. Judas Iscariot. Now, those are a couple of applications. Here's one more. In the future, in the tribulation time, when the Jews are being sold out by brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, and Jesus Christ said that. He said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. He said, there'll be a son against a father, there'll be a daughter against a mother. Not because I want that to happen, but that's just the nature of what's going to happen in this. You'll have a mother against a daughter, you'll have a son against a father. And not because that's the way I want it to go, but that's just the way it's going to go. And so people will be sold out under great pressure by their brothers, by their sisters, by their moms, by their dad, by their sons, by their daughters. And Jesus said this in Mark chapter 13, verse 12. He said this, and I'll just read it to you. He said, "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." I'm just going to give you a little bit about that. So in that time period when Jacob's troubles come on this earth and God is dealing with the nation of Israel and Jewish people, the Israelites, it's the faithful ones are being sold out by the unfaithful ones, this psalm will be remembered as, here's David sold out by a good friend. They fellowshiped together, they ate food together, they counseled together, they had good time together, and now the times have changed, so to speak. And now the pressure's on and people do strange things under pressure. And so this point in time, this psalm will be a great comfort for people in the future who are being sold out by brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. So you have three good applications. I mean, you guys could make an application to your own lives. I don't know that we've ever been put in this situation. But there's three good applications. You've got David and Ahithophel. You've got Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot. And then you'll have in the future, under Jacob's troubles and tribulation and all that, you will have people selling each other out, people who were friends, who have sold each other out to avoid danger, to make money, to continue in their lifestyle. They will sell each other out. But you have this psalm here as a remembrance and as a comfort. You know, this happened to David one time. This also happened to Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ says, "You know what, take up your cross and follow me," that means some of the steps I've taken, you're going to be taken too. You'll be sold out. You will have some friends betray you. And I don't want to automatically put you and I in the position of, yeah, we're the victims here and we've been betrayed. You know, there's another side to that. Maybe we betrayed some people ourselves. But this is a psalm about Ahithophel. It goes back over to 2 Samuel chapter 15 and 16 and 17 and all that. It's a psalm about Ahithophel. It's also applied to Judas Iscariot, Jesus Christ. And it can be applied to some Israelites in the tribulation. And really, I guess it could be applied to some Christians. You get betrayed, and you know what? David's mindset was exactly right. When he got betrayed, he said, "You know what? I want the Lord to sort this thing out. I'm not going to take vengeance. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to try to fight back on this thing. Lord, you sort this out and help me." And that's the right attitude. You know what the Lord said? He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." It's not your job to repay. Let me do that, because I know how to do it. And they may not need as much payment as you think they need, or they may need more, who knows? But David's attitude, verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction," all that stuff. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." That's the attitude. Not, "I'm going to get back at him. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to make sure they get what they deserve." No. Let the Lord sort the thing out. He'll take care of it. He really knows a lot more about it than you and I do. We may think we have a grip on it, and we may not know all the details we think we know. So a good application for us is that David said, "I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Let the Lord have it. So those are some things about Psalm 55, some applications. I hope it's helpful. I think it's interesting. Puts the stuff back into its context. You see where this stuff goes and where these songs came from and how they originated. So I hope that is helpful to you. So I'll pray. We'll pray for the food, and we will go over to the fellowship hall and have some.